It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And just a quick note, for those of you like me who have been concerned over the lack of rainfall, June came in pretty close to average. At my house, I recorded in the month of June 4.25 inches of rain. And just a little bit on the plus side of 4 inches is what June usually brings. So in this area, at any rate, it was welcome. And for the most part, it fell, you know, a tenth of an inch at a time. But we did have a couple of big rainfalls. I had one 47 hundredths, one 67 hundredths, and one that was 1.93 inches. So three really big rain events. And the rest of it was, you know, between a tenth and two tenths of an inch, sometimes less than a tenth, sometimes, you know, five hundredths. And, but it all added up and it all made for a pretty nice recovery from what had been a pretty dry year up until that point. I put together a list of things that happen in July because this is the 1st of July. And even though June went by like it was, F1 race car or something, it just seemed like it just barely started and suddenly we're in July. But at any rate, here are some things that you can look for during the month of July. In the first week of July, alfalfa should bloom. You should be able to find nuts on your hazel, either American or beaked. I was out yesterday. Both of them, the nuts are now large enough that they are pretty easy to find. Red elderberry is going to be ripe this week. Ebony jewelwing, which is a lovely little damselfly, is going to be flying around open water and sometimes even back in the woods. I've run into them in some of the oddest places. Basswoods will begin to flower this week. Black-eyed Susans have begun to bloom. Canada thistle will be blooming. Cattail flowers are forming. Common milkweed and swamp milkweed will both be blooming in the first week. Cow parsnip. You are probably, if you're driving around this time of year, you are probably going by cow parsnip and not knowing it. It is first of all, it's a tall plant. It stands above everything in the ditch right now. Where I'm seeing it, it is the tallest thing in the ditch. And some of them are 4 feet. Some of them are closer to 6 feet. But they're topped with a big disc, sometimes 3 to 5 to maybe 6 inches in diameter, disc of white flowers. And it looks a lot like yarrow, which is a white disc of flowers, but much shorter. The cow parsnip also has these huge leaves. The leaves are as big as your hand, and they're shaped a lot like a maple leaf. So they're very heavily lobed, and that plant is cow parsnip. And it's blooming right now, and you should be able to find it all over the area. It's standing up above just about everything in the fields. Also this week, sandhill cranes should be bringing their little colts out to the fields. You might get a chance to see one. Pin cherry and juneberry will be getting ripe this week. Fireweed will be blooming. Let's see. That's about it for the first week. The second week of June, showy lady slippers will complete their flowering, and they're well on their way to being done. So if you're going to see one of the showy lady slippers, you better get out there and look in the next week or so. Rabbit's foot clover will bloom in the second week of July. A lovely butterfly called the Atlantis fritillary will be out flying about on the second week of July. Baby eagles will fledge in the second week of July. We will see the last of the wild iris, the blue flag. Raspberries will become ripe. Evening primrose will bloom. Blue vervain, mullein, tansy. All of those things will bloom in the second week of July. Water hemlock, a very poisonous plant that is expanding its range and is now common in northern Minnesota, will be blooming in the ditches. in the second week in July. And before it begins to bloom, I will post some pictures and describe it for you in great detail, probably in the second week in July. Mountain maple seeds will begin to ripen. Early goldenrod will bloom in the second week of July. The monarch butterflies, the next generation of monarch butterflies, will be hatching out and flying around. And a lovely sort of fireweed-like flower called the purple-fringed orchid will begin to bloom in the second week in July. Third week in July, juvenile hummingbirds will start coming to the feeders. Large-leafed asters will bloom. Spotted touch-me-not will bloom. Bluebead lily berries will get ripe. Blueberries will be ripe. Chokecherries will be ripe. Clasping leaf dogbane and meadow sweet will come up and bloom. Burdock will bloom. Creeping bellflower will bloom. Raspberries will become ripe. And ghost pipe, that white plant that is without chlorophyll and found usually in sandy soils, will become ripe in the third week of July. And in the fourth week of July, tall blue lettuce, boneset, bull thistle, Canada goldenrod, flat-topped aster, northern heart-leaved aster, all of those flowers will bloom. Red maples, you will see by the end of July. I know this is hard to hear, but you will see the beginnings of some leaves turning red on the red maples. And spreading dogbane, which is right now absolutely covered in these little bell-shaped flowers. They're white with little pink streaks in them. They are a huge attractant to all sorts of butterflies and hummingbirds, and they will begin to turn yellow at the end of July as they sort of gear up and get ready for fall. And the tall sunflower, the woodland sunflower, will begin to bloom in the end of July. Looking at some of the things that I've noted over the past week here in the Grand Rapids area, clasping leaf dogbane is budded and about to begin to bloom. Let's see, why aren't you? I'm having a little trouble with the machinery here. Okay, let's try this. Sorry for the delay here. Here we go. Common milkweed is blooming. Swamp milkweed is budded and ready to bloom. Clasping leaf dogbane is budded and ready to bloom. I saw my first red admiral butterfly yesterday. And the red admiral is a little bit smaller than the white admiral. It's a fairly dark brown, almost black looking butterfly with a bright red stripe running through its wings. And it looks a lot like the Milbert's tortoiseshell butterfly, but it is separate and is now in the area. The nanny berry in my yard has lots of fruit on it. The pin cherry has lots of fruit on it. I'm seeing a lot of fruit on June berries, pin cherries, nanny berries. My choke cherries aren't carrying that much fruit. But the rest of them, they look pretty strong right now. I told you that the tall blue lettuce will be blooming late in July. Right now it's about 3 feet tall. By the time it gets ready to bloom, it'll be between 6 and 9 feet tall. Yeah, 9 feet. And it grows from the ground up every year. It's an amazing plant. Hazelnut, both beaked and American, are showing signs. You can see the fruit on them now. It'll be 6 to 7 weeks before they get ripe. But keep an eye on them, because once they do get ripe, they're going to disappear in a heartbeat. Raspberry is still in bloom, probably at its last peak, and there are some berries forming. Blackberry, same thing. Still some flowers on the blackberries, but the fruits are forming. Spreading dogbane is probably at its peak of flowering. Black bindweed, this is kind of an interesting little plant. Red stems, it's a vine, it climbs up over everything. The flowers are like smaller than a match head, and they're white, So they're tiny and they're white, and there are lots of them all over this bindweed, black bindweed. The other bindweed that is blooming right now is hedge bindweed. And the only thing they have in common that I can discern is the last name. The leaf is pretty close to the same, but the hedge bindweed looks like a morning glory. It is that big 2 to 3 inch white, sometimes pink flower streaked. It's a very tall, very large flower, and it grows on these sort of viney bindweed plants. So I guess that black bindweed and hedge bindweed do have that in common. I noticed a lot of fruits on the blue bead lily. It's still green as can be, so it won't be anything that you'll want to be, you wouldn't want to eat it if it were ripe. It's one of that's that bright blue berry that you see in the fall or in August, and you think, why hasn't anybody eaten that? That looks really good. Well, nobody's eaten it because they're terrible. They're filled with chemistry that makes them really bad. So that's why blue bead lily sort of persists. Something, birds of some sort eat them, and how they get them down and get them through their system, I don't know, but it's nothing you and I want to eat, trust me. Tufted loosestrife and marsh cinquefoil are both blooming along the edge of the lake. Hairy vetch continues to be blooming very heavily. There's a second vetch in flower. Well, there were three. There was the Canada milk vetch, and then hairy vetch, and then there's a third one called the marsh vetchling, which has, if you're thinking about the hairy vetch has like dense clusters of flowers that might go from 6 to 15 in a group. The marsh vetchling might have 3 to 5. And the flower of the marsh vetchling is pink with a kind of a white throat. Now, they don't all behave the same. They have a bunch, they have a myriad of sort of colors, and they cover the entire spectrum from pink to red to white. But never, the whole flower is never going to be white, but it will have. The ones I'm looking at have this white lower tongue that kind of sticks out, marsh vetchling. The Virginia tunicate moth is hanging out amongst the spreading dogbane. This rather nondescript gray-winged moth that's about 1.25 inches long flutters around, and you wouldn't pay any attention to it except that the body, or right behind the eyes at the start of the thorax, is bright orange, like the color of orange peel orange. And the legs and the rest of the thorax are bright blue. And so it is, it's the body that catches your eye in the case of the Virginia tunicate moth, which is, it's one of the tussock moths. When you see you may have already seen the caterpillar of this moth, but probably not realized that that was what it was going to become. Timothy grass is beginning to flower. The red squirrels have begun to cut the Norway pine cones, and I saw some little ends of some of the white spruce were also cut and laying in the driveway, and they cut them off, and then they come down and pick them up, and they take them and hide them and go from there. The bur oak in my yard, I can now see the acorns on the bur oak. Up until a week ago, it was almost impossible to see the acorns on the bur oaks. They just hadn't gotten that big. I was going over to visit a friend the other day, and or driving down the gravel road that goes into his house. I got the dog with me. The windows are down. I see a mother skunk and 6 little stinkers hanging out with her. And I swerved kind of way over so that I wouldn't get too close. And the dog, of course, had got her head out the window, and she's like, oh, let me out. Let's play. Like, no, there won't be any fun to be had there. But it was fun to see the little guys getting out and getting around. Winterberry, the northern holly, is beginning to bloom. And that is about 10 days earlier than I've found in the past. Whether or not that's indicative of anything, I don't know. But it's if you're out wandering around and you see these plants with these tiny white flowers, the flowers are probably a quarter of an inch across, and there'll be clusters of them, and those will become the berries of the northern holly before the winter falls. Smooth sumac and staghorn sumac are both in flower right now. Tall meadow rue is in flower. Black-eyed Susan's is in flower. Common milkweed is in flower. Lots and lots of flowering plants out there for you to enjoy. And some that I haven't discovered yet. So by all means, if you are out and about and you have got your thinking cap on and your eyes are open and you got your phone with you, record some of your observations and share them with us. We'd love to hear from you. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.